What does the ghost want? That's usually the question that everyone begins with when you're talking about a haunting situation. What do they want? I guess that's human nature, because when there's something troubling us as living people, we want to know, well, okay, this person obviously has an issue with us or something going on that's affecting all of us now. What do they want? How do we calm this down? How do we appease this person over here? A lot of times we take that same attitude with ghosts. What do they want? How do we appease them? What if there's really nothing they want? They just want to do their thing. You happen to be there too. How do you handle such a thing? Is there a way to make peace with the ghost, with the paranormal entity, or demonic entity if it goes that far? Is there ever a way to have overall everyone on each side of the dimensions be happy? It's kind of the question we ask as we go through today's stories on Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 323. What happens when a dark force seems to have an affinity for innocent animals in a shelter? It's kind of a new one. Ghosts in the animal shelter, but not ghosts of animals. Seems to be ghosts of the living. What do you do when there is something very dark in your house, yet your family refuses to accept it? And an older gentleman recalls his youth and the paranormal afflictions his family suffered through more than half a century ago. More so a cautionary tale of awareness than anything else. Those stories today on EPP bonus episode number 323 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. What do you do when there's something in your house that's very dark, yet your family refuses to believe you? Or your family likes to make up excuses for what it is to calm your nerves. Intention being good, outcome not so much. Kind of makes you even more anxious than before when you're feeling dismissed over something that you know you damn well saw and experienced. We can't make any sense of. And you may know that your family can't make sense of it either. You may know they're going to be just as clueless as you. But as a child, you want more. You hope for more. But you realistically know you can't expect more, because these things, these ghostly experiences, you know no one can explain. Not even the most trusted person in your world, whether it be mom or dad or brother or sister or aunt or an uncle. Everyone is just as clueless as you are. Everyone is just as defenseless as you are in keeping something like this at bay. So what do you do when you're a child and you have no choice but to endure what may come your way from the other side? That's what happens in our next story. Take a listen. Hi, Tony. This is Kira from Tooele, Utah. This is my first time writing to you. I love the show and I've been listening for over 2 years now, and I've been an EPP for about 4 months this August. I love the show and decided it was time to share and contribute to it. Today, I'm going to be writing to you guys about one of my most haunting experiences I ever had with the paranormal. Ever since I was a little girl, I've had several paranormal things happen to me, from seeing my dead great uncle's ghost at his funeral, sitting and watching a television that wasn't there with my dead great-grandfather, dealing with a mimic that won't leave me alone, to seeing a constant figure in my life that likes to lurk in closets. My grandmother always told me that the reason I attracted the paranormal and could see them was that the veil was thinned over my eyes. Over the years, I started thinking that I'm more sensitive to the other side because when I was a baby, I almost died because the hospital cut my umbilical cord with dirty scissors, and I believe it may have contributed to this. I have lived in the same house all my life. My parents first bought this house a month before I was born. It's a manufactured home, and they are the first people to ever live in the house and the first house placed on the property. I've always hated having closet doors open when I'm around. When I used to play with my Barbies in my room, I'd have to make sure that the closet door was shut because I could feel like someone was watching me. And once it was shut, the anxiety and fear I felt would go away. I was a little over 5 years old when I first recall seeing the figure that lurks in the closet. I'm sitting in front of my parents' bedroom door. Their bedroom is not excessively big, but it is a decent square size. The closet sits next to the door when it is open. I don't recall what I was doing sitting there, but what happened next has solidified in my memory, and 15 years later, I still refuse to go near that damned closet door. My mom and dad were both outside in the driveway talking to the neighbors. My brother is in the bathroom on the other end of the house. It's just me, all alone, sitting in front of my parents' open bedroom door. The lights in the house are a warm yellow and the blinds are open. I can see that the sun is setting. I look out the window from my position on the floor and watch my mom and dad talking. Then, I look forward to the open bedroom door, and as I see something coming out of the closet, a grip of fear immediately clings to my heart. This thing creeps out the closet. It's huge. The figure is completely black, and it eclipses the lights around it and towers over the doorframe. When I describe it these days, I often suggest that you think of the Dementor from Harry Potter. Of course, I'd never watched Harry Potter until years after this. This thing was wearing a cloak and it was wispy around the edges. My 5-year-old self scrambled back on my butt and got ready to make a run from it as it reached out a gnarly hand towards me. Something in my head told me that I had to run before it got me, and if it got me, then I would be dead. My heart was beating out of my chest and it floated towards me, hands still outreached. I got my feet in an instant and ran towards the bathroom that my brother was in. I did not dare look behind me as I kept going. I smacked my hands into the bathroom door. Tears were running down my face as I told my brother that something had come out of Mom and Dad's closet. I was terrified. I could not go near that side of the house for hours after that. When I told my mom about the monster living in the closet, she told me that it was probably just my dad and that I should not be worried about it. I know what I saw, and there was no way in hell it was a person, especially Dad. Nothing good gives off waves of fear as that thing did. I know that my dad was outside with my mom. I'm not stupid. This was my first encounter with that figure, but it would not be the last. That wraps up the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of the story and the episode and have access to all 323 bonus episodes in their entirety and brand new ones every single week and advanced episodes and our ebook and our audiobook, lots of extras. I try to make it really worth your while. It's only $5 a month to become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon at patreon.com/realghoststories. Even get 1 month free if you sign up for the annual membership. It's your call. Go monthly, go yearly, whatever suits your budget. That helps us stay on the air, and we greatly appreciate your support. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We'll talk about what happens when a dark force seems to have an affinity for an innocent animal in a shelter. And an older gentleman recalls his youth and the paranormal afflictions his family suffered, though more than half a decade ago. All of that and more in the rest of this episode. Get it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.